Hello, everyone. What's going on? Why?
The dragon is the best known creature that never was.
I'm gonna scratch some brush. Dude, you're tripping.
Welcome, children, to the Dragon Hour. On today's show, we will be talking about all of the things going on the Evergreen campus in regards to the budget cuts. And we will be reading some selections from Drew's manifesto, The Origin of Spirit, which I believe will dispel all of your silly notions of some sort of omnipotent, all-powerful thing to which you must be subservient, for it has planned out your destiny and all sorts of crazy things. I will bring you freedom! My knowledge will bring you freedom. This is Mamba, you have returned. Oh my.
Well, of course, I couldn't stay away too long now, could I?
Where did you go?
On a crazy adventure.
And where did this crazy adventure lead you? I have no doubt that if you went someplace, it was both crazy and an adventure. And how was this adventure? You must tell me, you must tell everyone.
Well, if I gave you all the details, we would be talking forever. But because I was, of course, crazy and adventurous, and it led me all over the wilds of Oregon and California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas into Oklahoma.
Well, you know, I really lied just now because I didn't lie, but I beguiled you. I beguiled you, yes. This is a human word that I've come up with. I know it's out of character, but that's what I did, okay?
Really? Dragons are known for being beguiling.
Well, I beguiled you. Well, it's something that we learned from you, actually.
Really? I think humans are liars. We're not beguilers.
Well, you weren't as much of a beguiler as your great 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 grandma was, but
yeah, I'm not good at beguiling or lying. I'm just too blunt.
But she's the one who taught me how to beguile, and basically what I just did was I said that you know, I was curious. I made you think I was curious as to where you had been or whatever. Like, I didn't know where you had been, but actually I had the mermaids follow you. So
how did they follow me on land?
You don't know much about mermaids, okay?
No, I don't.
Well, that's good. It's good that you don't know much about mermaids. And we're just going to leave that at that, okay?
I'm totally and completely confused.
So something else that the mermaids have been telling me about is, you know, I can't really go around Evergreen campus, what with being a dragon and all. I have to kind of stay beneath the water, you know? But beneath the water over in the Sound by the Evergreen campus, I hear about all this crazy kind of stuff going on. And and basically people are locking themselves into rooms. They're refusing to leave the HCC for periods of time.
HCC.
Yeah, the HCC is a little place at Evergreen where they have Dee's been there, and he's told me about it. It's a little place where they have, like, you know, candy stand and
if
whatever.
If I knew, I wouldn't be asking.
Yeah, well, the HCC, they have, like, a TV and a
a foosball table
a
and
lounge?
Stuff. Yes, it's like the student lounge.
Okay.
And
cool.
they have like music there and stuff like that and different presentations. That's where they have the open mic on Wednesdays. That's where they have a lot of cool stuff go. And so these kids are locking themselves into there, refusing to leave.
So you're telling me there's a bunch of college kids who are paying to go to college, who decide that they're going to go to the fun place on campus and lock themselves in the cool spot.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah. But see, they have a reason for it.
Okay.
The reason that they have for it is that most of them are not going to be able to pay to go to college next year. Because of the
so why don't they lock themselves in where they can get an education instead of into the place where it's more entertaining?
Well, see, we're gonna
the library.
This brings me to a good point, and see, a lot of times a human being will think,
if I have to pay to go to college, I'm gonna lock myself into the library if I'm gonna make a point.
Yeah, exactly. That is a good idea. Or you know, there's many things they can do, but so they're locking themselves in the HCC.
Oh, it's more entertaining anyway.
Yeah, and they're trying to do different things to make a scene, to raise awareness and all this. And this is cool, but see, a lot of times...
maybe it's just because I'm older.
Yeah. See, a lot of times a human will think that in order to do something, to make a difference about something, it has to be hard. They think that in order for something to be good, they have to have pain and have some kind of emotional, like, you know, hardship for it. That's why when you humans invent your silly little religions and stuff like that, you always think that in order to do a good job for your religion, you have to deprive yourself of something, or you have to like cut yourself or hit yourself or something crazy like that.
Don't include all of us in that.
Well,
that's
I don't mean you. That's why we picked you out of all the rest of them. But basically, this is silly. And the similarity between religion and like political action is that they both come from a place of passion and a place of like, you know, trying to change whatever you think is bad in the world to make the world better for whatever you think it should be better for. And that's, you know, some people have a more diluted version of that than others. But regardless of that, people are
this
equally...
This is coming from a dragon who kills off their opponents.
You don't know anything about dragons.
You told
You don't know
me
anything
this.
About the sea. And you don't know anything about any of it, okay?
You told me
so
this,
don't
dragon.
Go around trying to... I'm doing y'all a favor. I am up here
You kill
talking.
Off mates who aren't entertaining to talk to.
I am up here talking to you, okay?
You kill
so
off mates
now,
who aren't good talkers.
Don't you be judging. You know nothing about the ways of dragons. And you know nothing... I don't have to explain myself. I don't. I am a dragon, okay?
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to do y'all a favor here, okay?
I'm sorry.
So what I'm saying is,
go
what
ahead
I'm saying,
and be a hypocrite. I'm
not a
hypocrite
because I'm not talking about human behavior. Well, I'm giving y'all advice of human behavior.
You are talking
what
about
I'm saying,
human behavior.
I'm giving you advice about how to be a human, okay?
Okay.
Now, I'm a dragon. Now, what I tell you about how to be a human does not apply about to me being a dragon. Okay, I
That's
can
right.
do what
as long
I
as
want.
I eat my opponent, I'm all right. Okay.
Well, no, you should not eat your opponent because you are a human. Just like a lamb should not go around stalking lions. That's just stupid.
No,
I
they
am
can
a dragon.
Eat other lambs.
You are a human. You see what I'm saying? Humans don't run around biting mosquitoes and drinking their blood either now, do they?
No,
they don't. They don't. They sure don't.
Should we eat other
and so
humans if
they're
in our way?
Humans don't need to do dragon stuff, and so there's no comparison to humans and dragons.
Right.
If I want to eat
apples
my
to
opponent,
oranges.
Be my opponent, whatever, then I can do that because I am a dragon. And if another dragon wants to come down here and tell me about it, then there's only one other dragon, and she lives on the other side of the world, and I don't think she's going to come down here to even talk in your silly human language.
That's
so
right,
get over
she doesn't
it.
Like to talk
if
to you
If I
anyway.
Want to eat something, I'm going to eat it. And that's just that. Because I am a dragon.
Right. So why are you giving us advice on humanity?
Because you obviously need some.
Well, you obviously need some advice on mating.
No, I do not.
Well, that's just hypocrisy.
Well, I do not care. And so now,
I love you,
on,
dragon.
I love you too. moving on.
I'm
now,
sorry.
Now, see.
I flustered you. I'm
these,
sorry.
People always think that in order to do something good, they have to feel some pain about it or something. And that's why when humans invented their silly little religions and they
like
wanted
marriage, that's painful.
Yeah. And they wanted to see the see your let me just and so and they wanted to see like you know, visions or whatever, or they wanted to try to bring some good to the world, they would always think that they had to like have some kind of asceticism for this nonsense, and they would always think that before they could go and like see what was good and what they should do for the world and feel the bliss of it, they would have to like you know, hurt themselves or starve themselves or stand on their head for 3 days and not look at anybody or something stupid like that.
Okay, I'm confused. What are you talking about?
And this is asceticism. And see, people have the same kind of passion that they have about religion. Like, activists have the same passion about their activism that religious fanatics have about their religion, because it both comes from that place in the belly where we're trying to change the world to make it a more beautiful place, whatever we think beauty may be. And so these kids at Evergreen are experiencing a common symptom of the sort of disease that has infected
zealotry.
No, they think that they have to be ascetics. They think they have to do something painful and hard, and they have to be mad about it, and they have to lock themselves in the HCC, and they have to, like, do all this stuff. And
well, maybe it made them mad.
Well, I'm sure it did. But they should be happy that it made them mad.
Okay, sometimes you say things, and all I can do is
they
go, bling,
be
bling,
happy that
bling,
it made
bling.
Them mad. You know why? Because being mad teaches you stuff. And to the spirit... To the spirit, all at all experience is knowledge. The spirit doesn't discriminate.
Did it occur to you, ever, Dragon,
experiences.
That anger comes from pain?
Anger comes from pain, and pain teaches you stuff.
Yeah, not to touch something that hurts you.
Well, that's good. You learned that, and now you're still alive knowing that. So thank the pain for teaching you it.
Don't touch the hot stove.
I'm going to be mad.
Don't touch what hurts you, Dragon.
That is why... These students need to take that feeling that they feel of anger about what's going on with the budget cuts, with the cuts to higher education. We heard all about it with the cuts to healthcare. It's all crazy. Obviously, the government doesn't care anything about the people that it's trying to govern. But
No, I'm going to back up with that. I know that being a leader is a difficult thing, and so do you, Dragon, because I know that you've had to lead. You talked about the Dragon Wars and things, and it's difficult to lead. So I can't say that the government in a whole has that, doesn't care, because I'm sure that there's people within the government that do, but it's a difficult thing.
I don't want to get into government.
But I think
I shouldn't
that the
even
students,
said that word.
The students,
that word doesn't mean anything. If I said that word in French, you would have me... Have me taken care of.
Yeah. I think the students have anger because they feel pain from whatever, you know, not being able to pay their tuition next year. And so from that pain, they feel anger. And they want to bring about change. And so are you saying that what they're doing is stupid by trying to cause make a change by trying to cause an action to get people to notice what they're doing?
No. I'm saying that they should think of the most fun possible way to do something about
it. Not cause pain unto themselves to get people to notice
exactly.
their change. Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
They should
that
think
makes
of
more
the
sense.
Most fun possible way to do it. Like, they should all clothe themselves with pots and pans and march into each of the lecture halls and play drums like on that Broadway musical, Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk. And say that they're not going to leave until Evergreen, you know, reimburses them for all of the money they've ever given them.
My eyes just widened to the size of plates as I think Evergreen would go broke.
Well, good. They should go broke. Because education shouldn't cost anything. But we're not going to get into that either. The other option that they do is they figure out how to teach themselves stuff. And everything that they've tried to learn from Evergreen, they just go and teach themselves. And pretty soon, the way the economy is going, all the teachers are going to be broke too. So they can just go and teach it to them for free. And I think we're done with this topic. This is a new song by Dirty Fist.
Dirty Fish.
And it's about mermaids. And over the sea, what did you really achieve? You see how stupid and silly all you humans seem to the mermaids and the underwater community? Y'all are just absolutely crazy. And for one thing, we've already taught you how to build better boats and stuff that don't run on this stupid gasoline, but you're too busy running around trying to get somebody to approve of it to just do something about it. But no, you got to have the president sign it and say, good job, little do-to-do. You made a boat that doesn't run on gasoline, so you don't have to poison all the dragons and the mermaids anymore. I'm the president, and I'm going to sign it and say that you can build that boat and we'll replace all the... No, but you could just go ahead and do that. Do you not understand this? Does that not compute? What's going on here?
We already discussed this. We know that humanity is in its teenage years. Technology is like a new toy.
Well,
so that's what the whole gasoline thing is. It's like kids hitting puberty and they just got their first car. They'll get past it. It's all right.
Well, if you were walking down the street and on the one block there was Jimi Hendrix. Right.
Okay.
And Jimi Hendrix was plucking at a piece of plywood with some chicken wire taped to it.
Okay.
Crying.
Okay.
And you walked up the street and there's there's chicken wing up there. Right?
A chicken
wing. There's another boy, you know, and he can't hear so good. And he's got one arm a lot shorter than the other, and the fingers on it don't work right. And he's got a really nice Guild acoustic light that plugs in, and it's got a tuner right on it, and it's like a 7-string, you know. It's got brand new strings on it, and Jimi Hendrix is down there playing out. You could replace this. You could take Jimmy's piece of plywood with chicken wire on it, give it to that dude. He would not even know the difference. And then take his guitar and give it to Jimi Hendrix.
But that wouldn't be right.
Yes, it would be right.
No, it would not.
Yes, it would.
What
yes,
makes it
would.
Right?
Because everybody on the street don't want to hear that.
But how do you know that guitar that boy has didn't come from his father who died? You don't know that. You don't know if it has emotional, mental, and other things, Sam. But you know what I would do? I would walk down that street and I would go get Jimi Hendrix and I would say, Jimmy, can you do me the biggest favor in the world? Up here, here's this boy who has this most beautiful guitar, and he can't play it. And he can't play it real well because he's got a bent arm. But I bet you, because you've got such talent, Jimmy, that you could teach him how to play it with his feet, and you'd make it sound like gold. Can you come up here and teach him how to play this right, Jimmy?
Well, see, you know, the metaphor that I was going for here wouldn't allow for that. Because the powers that be would have had that dude surrounded by a SWAT team, and Jimi Hendrix wouldn't have been able to get in within 200 feet of him.
And
but
see, I just don't work by those powers that be.
Yeah. Well, the metaphor that I had for this was that the guitar, the really good guitar, is like the technology that the human race could be using to fulfill their societal needs, like bring themselves energy, feed themselves, heal their various diseases, and all these entertain themselves, all these sort transport themselves from place to place. They could have. There is such crazy technology that could be used to do all of this, but no, it's like being held up by all this crazy stuff, you know.
See,
and it's just insane.
Let me use your metaphor. We have the ability within ourselves, that same thing that I did, that I said, to use our kindness and our love and our ability to give and use our mind and the same things that we already have here on Gaia, on Earth, to take what we have, raping what's given to us and stealing from each other and taking from that boy.
Well, now that I think about it, I wouldn't have necessarily taken it. You know, y'all up here in human land, y'all get me all kind of... I mean, I see you driving around in these big cars that weigh like 2 tons, and they pump all this disgusting stuff up in the air, and then I sit there, and I know good and well that you could make just as good a car as that would run off of something else, vegetable oil, peanut oil, something. And then I know that the person who taught you how to do that, you sailed out into a lake and shot in the head, and so that just makes me really, really mad. And I don't necessarily want to sit and call chicken wing president down from his hill and be like, hey man, could you please do something about this whole oil crisis thing. He's gonna say no. That's what he's gonna say. And first of all, I'm not gonna get to ask him because I'm a dragon. Well, and they discriminate against dragons.
Oh, well,
and
on the same token,
it's just crazy.
Now, dragon on the same token. Had that boy heard Jimi Hendrix play that guitar, he may have loved that music so much that he might have given that guitar to him.
Well, this is true. Let's get away from the little boy thing.
You just got me going on that whole thing.
I can see how that's, whatever. But basically, this goes back to a whole lot of different things. Because there's a lot of things going on.
We pollute our
where
earth.
We pollute our earth. We do. All of us do.
That's right.
And we really can't help it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know why we can't help it?
Do tell, dragon.
Because certain people continue to depend on the power of other people to provide them with things that they could provide for themselves if they had enough like-minded people who were there, who were willing and able to help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this stuff, every little thing that's going wrong in the world right now stems from this one basic thing that mm-hmm. everyone is depending on getting their resources from a global power that cares absolutely nothing about their quality of life or whether or not they live at all, as you know, other than how their life makes them money.
Yep.
And so if everyone would stop depending on these crazy people for everything that provides them with sustenance, then those crazy people wouldn't have any power over them, and I could go back to the bottom of the ocean, and I wouldn't even have to talk about it.
Get so frustrated.
And I'm going to tell you something. I taught y'all humans a lot of stuff.
You have.
And you know what? Y'all just...
frustrate you.
Chantel Tibbs has a song about it that she played live in this studio, and she's going to be back in this studio on May 1st, and y'all should really listen and donate some money to COA LP PO Box 7187 Olympia, Washington 98507. Make all checks payable to Media Island International so that KOWA can keep bringing musicians like this to the Olympia area and putting them on the radio and all of that. And so once again, make all checks payable to Media Island International, COA LP, PO Box 7187, Olympia, Washington 98507, so that I can keep hearing good music here in the KOWA studio, and I can, you know, because music is the only thing that seems to make any sense out of human land for a dragon. And this song just tells, just this is just how I feel about it, y'all. I'm sorry, but it is.
Time it's time. self-righteous.
I hate to say it, you know, but y'all humans really have just, you let a dragon down sometimes, you do. But, I mean, thanks for listening to Dragon Hour on KOWA 106.5, low power community FM, in the Cascadian Underground here in Olympia, Washington, and all that, you know. I know something that'll make me cheery again, and that's philosophy.
Because, I love philosophy.
Because D, you know, D's a little... He's a little poopy head or whatever, you know. He acts kind of silly sometimes. But he's a pretty good writer. He really kind of is a decent writer. And so I'm going to read some stuff that he wrote. This is a thing he wrote a couple of years ago, I think in 2006, called The Origin of Spirit.
It's got a lot of big words, folks.
A whole lot of really, really big words in it. And so The Origin of Spirit is a continuation of a Western thought, which, you know, don't hate D for it. He went to a school that is in the West, and so that's just the way it came out. But it is a continuation of Hegelian and Kantian philosophy.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Hegelian and Kantian philosophy.
So for those of you who don't know, Hegel is a philosopher and Kant is a philosopher.
Yes, they are. And they lived in Germany. They were, Kant was a predecessor of Hegel. But see, what happened with Western thought is that it had to have such rigid scientific language and explication of everything that it didn't finally get around to stumbling upon the circular truths of nature until around the 1700s and the 1800s, you know. It discovered it, but then, you know, a bunch of crazy people, we won't name names, ran around the continent and Europe killing everybody who discovered it, and then it didn't take a while. It took a long time to resurface, and it finally resurfaced in some Hegel and some Kant. And the good thing about this was that Hegel and Kant came up with scientific language to describe the circular truths of nature, meaning the truths of eternal recurrence, the fact that there is no such thing as time, the fact that all is one, all of this. They came up with scientific language to describe this.
In layman's terms, the words were too big for anybody to argue with.
Yeah, and as a as opposed to a kind of mythological, silly, you know, Mary had a little lamb nonsense way to describe it, as the way that all the ones who had myths and stuff you described it. But
you mean people who would have believed in dragons?
Well, everybody who's got any sense believes in dragons. Okay,
I love you, dragon.
The fact that I love you too, but the fact that I love you has nothing to do with the fact that everyone should believe in dragons, no matter what.
Well, just because I know you exist doesn't mean everybody else does.
Well, I don't care if they know I exist, and I'm not going to run around proving to them that I exist just so they can believe in it, just because they're stupid enough to not in the first place.
Did you know
and
you
that's
make
just
me giggle?
That. Huh?
Did you know you make me giggle?
Well, thank you, but it's time to get into this,
this
origin of spirit
scientific
here.
Scientific stuff, all right.
Yes, it is. And see, so what all of these various pursuits discovered, the initial sort of thing that they figured out, was the answer to the question that a lot of philosophical pursuits have proposed. And this question is, what is the nature of substance? And you see, a long time ago, people thought that there were many different substances. They thought that the early Greek philosophers, the pre-Socratics, would say, what is substance? And they would say, well, there's three different substances. There's earth and water and fire. And then they would do tests to try to earth, water, and fire. And then they would do tests to try to figure this out. And they would have a piece of wood. And then when they burned the piece of wood, they would notice that water came out of it, and that it turned into, and that, like, all this crazy stuff. And so they would have to figure that out. And so then they said, well, they're all made of the same substance. And then some people came along and they said, well, the way that you figure out what each substance is you compare it to each other substance. So if you want to say that, like, earth, water, and fire are all the same substance, then you have to say, well, what is earth? And then you say, well, it's not water or fire.
It's not animal or vegetable either.
Yeah. So why is it, so what do you mean it's not water or fire? You say, well, it's not wet and it's not hot and it's solid and stuff. Well, what is solid? Well, you see how water is? Water is not solid. And you say, oh, so the definition of, and thereby the essence of earth relies on a definition of an essence of fire and water. And you say, yeah, that sounds about right. And you say, oh, so without fire and water, earth would have no definition and thereby no essence and thereby not exist, because in order to obtain an essence and an identity, it has to be compared to them. And so basically all of their essence is the same. And you and they're, so, yeah, that made sense. And you would think that that made sense, but if you look at the society and the way they construct everything, it doesn't make any sense. But so then you come to realize,
these are the same people who let the Trojan horse in.
Yeah, these are people who are, you know, whatever. I love them. But then so you come to realize that all things are like this. You know, every single thing that exists in the world has some sort of corporeal individuated identity when it is analyzed from a human subjective rational lens. And then you say, oh, well, how does it construct that identity then? And you say, well, it constructs that identity based on everything that it is that is around it. And it basically, its identity is determined by everything that is around it and the differences and similarities it shares with those things and the way that it relates through to those things by means of its differences and similarities. And you say, oh, so then everything is basically everything else, and then that makes perfect sense. And then you say, oh, well, then everything must be the same organism, and that makes perfect sense. But then you say, oh, well, what does an organism do? Well, an organism, everything that it does arises from its desire to sustain its own life and perpetuate its own existence and create enough stuff so that it can exist at its highest possible level, so it can reach its...
That's Sartrean thinking. Hmm? That's Sartrean thinking.
Yeah. And it has to...
Sartre was another philosopher, those of you who have no idea what we're doing.
That comes from the conatus.
This is why most people do not take philosophy. It's very convoluted thinking, and it's hard to wrap your mind around.
It's not convoluted.
It is for
most
people.
What is that? That word convoluted sounds like convoluted. It's like thingamajigger.
It's hard to follow.
I don't even like that word. Okay. So, anyway, it is hard to follow, and that's why most of you aren't supposed to follow it. And I don't care. And so, also... yes, it's
okay,
true.
Okay, so organism, and that's where we're at. Organism.
And so
Sartrean thinking.
So there's a conatus.
It's at its highest possible.
Yeah, the conatus will to exist at the highest possible rate, at its highest possible potential, to actualize itself at the highest in the greatest degree possible. And so if all things are one, and all things are of the same organism, or all things are of the same substance, then that means all things must be guided by one consciousness. You know, that means all things must be of one consciousness. Well, and that consciousness would certainly not manifest for itself, if it is of one mind guiding itself, to do anything that would put its entire being in jeopardy. And so, therefore, everything is not of the same substance. If you look at the way that things exist as conscience, like inner, as like spheres of will, because actualized non-being is not an actuality. It is a possibility. Now, what actualized non-being is that if you look at a jungle, you can say everything in this jungle manifested itself of the same will, which was basically to make a jungle. Like, all the different elements coalesced there, and the animals evolved to breathe out carbon dioxide, and the trees evolved to breathe out oxygen, and, you know, the atmosphere, it all just evolved perfectly, and it just spun itself into being, and it's a jungle, and that's what it all wanted to be, is a jungle. There's nothing in the jungle that, if it was capable of answering a question, would say, I didn't want to be a jungle, or even have anything to say about it. It obviously is all cool with being a jungle and wants to stay that way for a long time. And so then if you asked any of it, do you not want to be a jungle anymore? Would you like for something else to happen? It would probably either have nothing to say or say no. However, but it would. We'll just say it would. But actually, a human is a little bit crazy, because a human could come by and look at that jungle and say, well, I can build an atom bomb. I'm gonna dig up enough oil out of this ground to power all these ridiculously pollutant like stuff. And I'm gonna all the thoughts that are in my head as I look at this jungle arise, that if they were pushed to their mat, that if my thoughts were pushed to their end, would cause for the destruction of this entire jungle. Meaning that I am a human, and when I look at this jungle, all I see is how I can destroy it and take its resources and use them for my end. And even though I don't realize that my end will cause the destruction of not only me, but this entire jungle, all of my thoughts are arising from that place. And so therefore, these thoughts which lead to that cannot be manifested by the core vibration. It's not all one conscious thing, because one conscious thing would not choose to destroy itself in such a way and would not manifest thoughts that would lead to such place.
Okay, I have to stop you, Dragon. I have to stop you.
And these thoughts are called actualized non-being.
I see what you're saying, and I see the point you're trying to make. I have one argument with it.
What? What is that?
Your basic argument, if I'm correct, is that there's not one conscious mystery over the universe, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And your subtext for that argument being that, going back to the philosophy of thinking, that the organism of things that were one conscious organism, and we're all one through this continuity of thought from that creation, because of that, that we all generated from this one being, and the different philosophers that you named, and how that came off, and how you went from their thought process, and you named off the evolution of those thoughts.
Yes, I know what I said, yes.
However, here's my argument. You went off on the evolution of how those thoughts came about. Here is my argument.
Okay.
We cannot all be one organism, because it has to be a living thing. All things are not animate.
That's not a good argument.
Yes, it is.
All things are animate at the cellular level.
All things are not animate on the cellular level. You want to break it down? Atoms are not living.
Well,
energy is not energy. E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. And you really want to break that down. Speed is measured by the amount of distance traveled over amount of time, right? Time is not calculated. Time is a man-made measurement, is it not?
Yes.
So you want to break that down even further. we created time. So that is something of our own construct.
Okay. So
how can we even measure energy correctly?
So you're arguing that all is not one based on the fact that
all... How can you say that all cannot even be one?
No,
we
listen.
We can say that all can be
listen,
one, but you can't
listen.
Say that a living
you
organism...
Said,
you're making your argument based on that all is a living organism. You cannot say that all is a living organism because there are inanimate objects. There are things
that are not living.
How do you
define not living?
Okay.
You
there
said
are things,
it beside...
There are organisms. There are organisms
no.
in this world.
We're gonna hold on.
There you based that when you said that, when you went back and you based that thing off organisms.
Let me ask you this. How do you define not living?
Okay. Breathing, growing.
Okay. So I know how you define not living. So you define not living based on it's not doing the things that living things
to
do.
To eat.
Yeah. So it's a dichotomy of opposites, right?
Okay.
Which would only exist within the construct of the two of those existing as polar extremes in one absolute whole. So if you're gonna say, well, all cannot be one because all is not one living organism because parts of it are not living, then you're gonna have to say, well, those things are not living because they're not doing what these things that are living are doing, and then you're gonna have to say, well, the essence of not living is determined by the essence
that
of living.
Lives.
Yeah. So therefore, that's all one. It's two polar extremes.
That's right.
Which
so
constitute
they
an
so
absolute.
All is one.
Yes.
That's
yes.
right.
But,
so to say that all is one, that does mean the creator.
Well, we haven't gotten to that part yet.
It doesn't necessarily mean that that has to be a religiosity.
Well, we haven't gotten to that part yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, I was just going back to the organism thing.
Yeah. So, basically, if all was one active, conscious, willing organism that was fully conscious of itself and acted as one whole, then this one conscious, willing organism would never manifest for itself things which would lead to its complete and utter destruction. But we see all over the human existence and the planet that, like, humans constantly manifest for themselves things that will lead not only to their own destruction, but to the destruction of the entire earth. And that is just crazy. And the destruction of entirely. And so therefore, they cannot be like solely all the thoughts in their head do not come into their head based on some like eternal thing that is all set up that is predetermined. So what this says is actualized non-being is not an actuality. It is a possibility. The word possibility does not imply phenomenological representation, which means that it is not to infer something exists in an actual state. It implies that something is potentiated within the fabric of what is. The possibility of actualized non-being is certainly actualized non-being being actions that lead to the destruction of entire planets, and is certainly based on the fact that we recognize its potentiality. The destruction of our atmosphere is an act which constitutes actualized non-being. It is also an act which is only potential or that has not yet been brought into actuality. In this way, it is not an actual part of our earth being, like all examples of actualized non-being. However, we may rationally justify the possibility for the destruction of our atmosphere and scientifically verify this pronouncement, and these findings cannot be debunked. Therefore, free will exists in that this possibility, which will never be an actuality, exists within the fabric of our earth being. If this were an actuality, we would have never stumbled upon it, and our science would not be able to verify it. The earth is a conduit of psychic Noah for no other reason beside the fact. Here we go. The earth is a conduit of psychic energy, projectively determined by collective consent. Time exists only as mind. It is an illusion, conjecture gathered from the emission of energy.
I agree.
Given by given by spatial actualities such as planets, which are a projection of gravitational forces. Any conceivable set of circumstances which maintains earthly vitality is ever present within our sphere, the one we perceive as determined by consensual representation. The only conceivable state of being which could not be projected by the natural soul is one which would not allow for the perpetuation of our breathing life force. The state actualized non-being is a completely rational and potentiated, although the state of actualized non-being is completely rational and potentiated within our earthly substance and must be a product of solely human intuition. If Earth is destroyed, the conduit is destroyed. A completely self-restoring and self-perpetuating flow of energy would not allow for the possibility of actualized non-being. However, the impossibility of actualized non-being cannot be rationalized unless reason is to be lost to the belief in a pre-existent and ultimately deceitful creator. For this reason, human free will and independent volition of will and of energy and independent spawning of natural substance necessarily exist. And so I think we're going to have to leave it at that until the next show. You know, the Octopus Queen has decreed that I am only allowed to come above the sea and give you my wisdom from 5 to 6 every Wednesday here on KOWA 106.5 low power community FM, serving the Cascadian Underground in Olympia, Washington. But
I appreciate your wisdom every day.
Well, I think that you're fighting me a little bit on my wisdom, because I think that maybe do you think that the humans can't handle the dragon wisdom? Because it was y'all's job to get them ready for it, so I think they're ready for it. So stop with the, you know, let's just pour it on them. In that time, let's empty that cup, all right?
And thank you very much, Dragon. I'm sorry.
Here's some Chantel Tibbs for you. And, you know, I don't believe in gods, but I sure do love y'all. We'll see you next time. So I You're listening to Chantel Tibbs on Proa 106.5.
Okay.